Space debris is becoming a problem. Orbit is fast becoming a dangerous place to be, simply because of the number of bits of junk that's up there with you. And it's not just the big objects, like decommissioned satellites, that you need to worry about. Due to their velocity, even tiny particles like chips of paint can do a great deal of damage if they hit sensitive equipment. To try to prevent collisions or conjunctions, space agencies are tracking the bigger objects and monitoring the rest through various sampling methods such as regular photographic surveys of satellite surfaces. Assessing how much of a priority space debris will become relies on having good modelling, and Southampton University's Dr. Hugh Lewis addressed the conference to discuss how we got into this situation.
The reason we have so many objects in orbit is because we put them there. Our launch activity has essentially contributed to the space debris environment. And back in the 70s, 80s, we were conducting quite a few space launches. So the launch rate at the moment is actually quite a long way down compared to that period in history. But still, we're looking at 6 million kilograms of mass on orbit that we've placed there. And that mass is distributed in many thousands of objects and fragments. And it's the fragments, really, that we're concerned about. So while we've been conducting space launches, we've been having accidents in space as well. So a lot of the upper stages have gone up, some spacecraft as well, have been involved in fragmentation events, so possible explosions and so on. And that is continuing. So even in October, we saw the explosion of an upper stage. And each of one of those events is going to be adding hundreds to thousands of new fragments into the environment. So really what we want to try and do is to stop that from happening. And a lot of the mitigation efforts that we've got are focused on passivating those upper stages so that there is no more residual propellant on board to produce these explosions. But then we have to shift our attention to the collisions that have already occurred and the ones that we are expecting to occur in the future and do our best to minimise those.
So we've littered our own space environment, but now the objects already up there are making the problem worse by colliding and breaking up into ever more smaller objects. Depending on their height above the Earth, these can persist for many years.
When these explosions and when these collisions are happening at higher altitudes, the fragments that are produced stay up there for longer. When they're lower down, then the lifetimes are much shorter. And in fact, around about 800 to 1,000 kilometres, we're looking at lifetimes of decades to centuries for some of these objects. And that is pretty much where the two worst events have taken place, which is the Chinese anti-satellite test and the collision between the Iridium and Cosmos satellites. And those fragments are going to be up there for a long time, and they contribute to the conjunctions that you see, ESA certainly are seeing with respect to their spacecraft, probably about 50% of all the conjunctions that they monitor involve fragments from those two events.
Computational models allow us to investigate quite how persistent these objects may be and how much of a problem they're likely to become.
So this software, which we like to call Damage, enables us to try out lots of different scenarios. So we can experiment with lots of different mitigation options. We can experiment with debris removal. And then we can run the simulation forwards for a couple of centuries to see what benefits, if any, we see.
The Damage model can be used to map active satellites and then superimpose on top the locations of any debris that's bigger than 10 centimetres.
When you superimpose the actual 10 centimetre environment on that, so this is actually data from European Space Agency's master model, you start to appreciate the problem that we've got 1,000 active satellites, but here nearly 30,000 objects that we can currently track. So the active population is actually a very small percentage of the orbiting population. And really that's where the problem lies. We can perform collision avoidance manoeuvres with our active satellites, but they account for such a small fraction of the on-orbit population that there will continue to be collisions in the future that we cannot prevent unless we start to go up and remove the objects that actually exist on orbit. Now, with respect to our Damage model, what we can do is we can start off with this population and we can run forwards 200 years. And if we don't do anything, the number of objects is 120,000. This is a trackable population. To get to that point, we estimate about 100 catastrophic collisions. of which only a tiny fraction would have involved the active satellites. So we have to try and prevent the collisions between the defunct satellites, the spent upper stages that are on orbit at the moment and will be placed there in the future.
But reducing this number is likely to present many challenges.
There are a number of debris mitigation guidelines, and there's one in particular which is highly effective in terms of reducing the number of collisions that you would see in the future, and that is to limit the lifetime of objects in low Earth orbit after the end of their mission, sometimes referred to the 25-year rule. This can have a dramatic effect on the future environment. If we just implement that 25-year rule, so at the end of your mission, you lower the perigee of the spacecraft or the upper stage so that it enters the Earth's atmosphere within 25 years, we see tremendous benefits. But it might not be enough. The current population is sufficient for these collisions to continue into the future. So as I've already mentioned, most of the population that we see, the trackable population, they're spent satellites, they're fragments. So there's nothing we can do from down here to change their trajectories to avoid the collisions. So we're now really contemplating, a new future, which is going beyond the debris mitigation. You know, mitigation is aimed at the generation of, and reducing the generation of new fragments and new debris. Now we're talking about actually going up there and getting rid of objects that are already there that can't perform these collision avoidance manoeuvres. And it's active debris removal. And I think at the last ESA conference on space debris, this was highlighted as a number one topic in the space debris area, active debris removal. I know there's a tremendous amount of activity in this across Europe and actually internationally as well.
There are many ideas for how we should go about removing debris from orbit, from giant nets through to space harpoons and the use of lasers to slow and therefore lower the orbit of different objects. All of these have pros and cons, so the discussion is far from settled.
What I'm interested in really is what happens if we do this? What happens if we start to remove the objects? And what questions there are. So the technology is one issue, but we've also got another key question. If we're going up to remove spacecraft, then what's the purpose? What's the goal? And identifying that goal is going to be really important in terms of establishing the technology that we'd need. So that's one of the key questions that we've got, but there are others as well. And one of them, the questions really that's important is if we don't remove them all, and it would be very expensive if we tried to remove them all, then which objects do we choose to remove? So what we've done at Southampton is use the damaged debris model really to look forward and see where the collisions are actually occurring. And we can identify a number of different clusters. And the key ones are the sun synchronous orbits. There we have a variety of different kinds of spacecraft and upper stages. And the other one is slightly lower in terms of the orbital inclination. These are essentially on retrograde orbits with respect to the sun synchronous orbits. So they're travelling very quickly relative to those spacecraft on the sun synchronous orbits, and they're mainly upper stages. So we've got a kind of a variety of objects. But if we can go in there and we can say, well, those are the ones that are more likely to be involved in collisions in the future, then those are the objects that we want to be targeting and removing from the environment. And that's precisely what we do in terms of our simulation, simulate that process. And what we find is even if we select in those regions, and it doesn't really matter which of those clusters that we target, as long as we target those clusters, and we find that we see some benefit.
We have potential technologies, and our models are telling us where to go to remove the debris, but removing enough might be too expensive.
It's not as if you're removing one spacecraft and that prevents one collision. Because we don't know that the object is actually going to be involved in a collision, it's essentially our best guess, then we have to remove more than we want to avoid one collision. And it turns out we have to remove about 50 objects to prevent one collision from a statistical point of view. In our studies, we find that we can achieve this if we remove anywhere between 3 and 10 objects per year. Now, just to translate that into, financial terms, so just in a 50-year period, if we did that, it's 150 to 500 removals that we'd have to perform. If we assume that each removal is essentially one new spacecraft that goes up to remove another object, maybe $300 million per removal spacecraft, then you're looking at $1 to $3 billion per year. It's hugely expensive. So somehow we need to be able to kind of say, well, that object is going to be involved in a collision, so if we remove it, we've prevented one collision from occurring. That would be the ideal scenario, and that's what we've got to try and work towards. Whether it's possible or not, I don't know.
The problem is far from solved, and Dr. Lewis argues that we need to get over four new problems before we can start to clean up our space environment. They are consensus, cooperation, collaboration, and contributions.
There are four other challenges that we need to address, and these kind of encompass the technical, the financial, the political and legal issues. Consensus, do we actually need active debris removal? Can we get away with existing mitigation guidelines and so on? Cooperation, some of the debris targets will belong to one particular country and a removal operation may be performed by another. So some cooperation is required there, certainly from a legal and a political point of view. We also will need to collaborate. This will need to be an international effort, and certainly this is something that is highlighted in the US space policy. Contributions. This is going to be very, very expensive, as I've already tried to indicate. So somehow we need to share the cost. Somehow we need to find the money to perform these kind of removal operations before we can even contemplate a campaign to remove these objects.
Dr. Hugh Lewis from Southampton University.